Hey everyone, this is Sadia Khan, the host of Immigrantly Podcast, and I have a special favor to ask. Please subscribe to our channel on Apple Podcasts. It's called Immigrantly Uninterrupted. You can subscribe for as low as $34.99 for the entire year or $3.99 a month. Sure, you'll get ad-free episodes, but this isn't really about skipping ads, guys. Independent media is getting squeezed, and anything to do with immigrant identity, you know what I'm talking about. Sponsors are hesitant. Sponsorships have slowed, especially for small mission-driven organizations like ours. So here's what we have decided. Instead of chasing brands or reshaping our voice to fit somebody else's agenda, we are choosing something different. We are choosing you. If Immigrantly has ever made you feel seen, challenged your thinking, or expanded the narrative around identity and belonging, this is how we keep it that way. Independent, unfiltered, and listener-powered. So please consider subscribing to Immigrantly Uninterrupted and help us build this on our terms. You can find the link in our show note. Welcome back to Immigrantly. I am your host, Sadia Khan. Have you ever been in the middle of a genuinely good moment, like a really good one, and felt a small voice in the back of your head say, should you really be enjoying this right now? That's what we are talking about today. We have a solo episode today, just me and something that's been sitting with me for a while. I think a lot of you will recognize, even if the specific occasion is different from your own. Last Friday was Eid. For those who aren't familiar, Eid al-Fitr marks the end of Ramzan, the Islamic month of fasting. After 30 days of waking up before sunrise to eat, going without food or water until sunset, and this whole sustained period of reflection and discipline, Eid is the exhale. New clothes, delicious food, everyone you love in one place. It's a big deal. And leading up to it, there's this specific kind of anticipation. Ramzan, by its nature, pulls you inwards. You're quieter, more deliberate, somewhat detached from the usual rhythm of daily life, especially when you're observing it in a country that isn't observing it alongside you. You're in a bubble of sorts, and then Eid cracks it open. That transition from the stillness of the fast to the noise and warmth of celebration is one of my favorite feelings of the entire year. There's something almost childlike about it. But this year, something was different. And I don't think it was just me. Here's the thing about celebrating anything right now, and I mean anything. A birthday, a promotion, a holiday, a good week. There is a low hum underneath it that is very hard to ignore, right? Because the world is not okay.
A devastated wasteland where there's neither all-out war nor what anyone could call peace.
Gaza has been enduring over 2 years of devastation that has taken thousands of civilian lives, families, children, entire neighborhoods gone. And just days before Eid, the US and Israeli strikes hit Iran, a country of 90 million people. Over 1,200 casualties in the opening days and still rising as I record this. Ordinary people, not politicians, not soldiers, people in apartments, in their daily lives, suddenly in the middle of a war. And so the question becomes, what do you do with your good moment when you're aware of all of that? This question isn't a new one. Honestly, it's one humans have wrestled with across generations, across every kind of conflict and crisis. But it feels particularly sharp right now because we're all so connected to the suffering in a way previous generations simply weren't. It lands in your pocket. It's in your feed between the food pictures and the memes. You cannot unsee it, and you would feel like a lesser person even if you tried. So there you are, trying to be present for your life and also unable to fully look away from the world. That specific, exhausting tension is what I want to talk about today. Because I think when we hit that tension, most of us fall into one of two traps. The first trap is performing grief, going quiet, pulling from any visible sign of happiness because you're worried about how it looks. Not posting the picture, not fully showing up for the celebration, muting yourself as a kind of tribute. And I understand that instinct completely. I kid you not, I go through it every single day. But here's the problem with it. It doesn't actually help anyone. The people suffering in Tehran or Gaza, Lebanon, Sudan, Afghanistan are not better off because you skipped the caption. What you're really managing in that moment isn't their pain. It's your own discomfort. And those are two different things. The second trap is the opposite. Just compartmentalizing, deciding that joy is yours and the world's suffering is over there, and the two don't need to meet. Curating a version of your happiness that has no awareness of what surrounds it. And that feels like its own kind of failure, a hollowness, like celebrating in a room where you've deliberately pulled all the curtains closed. And I am pretty sure that's not a good feeling to have. Neither of those is actually the answer. Here's what I have come to believe and what this Eid kind of clarified for me. Joy and grief are not opposites. They are not in competition. They can, and honestly, in a life lived with any awareness, they must exist at the same time. Now, as humans, we've been conditioned to treat emotions like they need to be sorted. Like you're either happy or devastated, celebrating or mourning, pick a lane. But that's not how human beings actually function. That's not how any of this works. The people who've lived through the hardest chapters of history, war, displacement, loss, they didn't stop laughing. They didn't stop making occasions or finding beauty in small things. Not because they were indifferent to their circumstances, but because joy and grief were simply both present and both real, and pretending otherwise would have been its own form of surrender. There's a word in a lot of cultures, this idea of holding sorrow and celebration simultaneously, of being fully alive to both. We don't really have one clean equivalent in English, unfortunately, which maybe says something about how we interpret joy and grief. But most people who've lived between worlds know exactly what it feels like. So, you let yourself have the good moment completely. You don't sand down its edges or keep it at arm's length. You're present for it, and you carry the weight of the world into that room with you rather than leaving it at the door. You don't forget. You don't perform forgetting. You hold both imperfectly, uncomfortably, and unapologetically at the same time. And you know what That is actually the full difficult work of being awake. So, practically, what does that mean? It means you post the picture if the moment was real and you stay informed and engaged and don't let the celebration become a reason to disengage from what matters. It means you bring it to your table, whatever your version of a table is. You talk about Iran, you talk about Lebanon, Gaza, Pakistan and Afghanistan. You talk about the places where people are suffering through occasions that should be joyful. You say their names. You don't let the warmth of your own gathering become a reason to stop paying attention. But it also means, and listen to this very closely, you extend some grace to yourself and to the people around you. Because honestly, everyone, all of us are navigating this with an imperfect lens right now. Someone celebrating loudly isn't necessarily indifferent. Someone who went quiet isn't necessarily performing. Most people are doing the best they can with a world that is genuinely heavy. And it means you resist the pull towards simple answers. Because the people who hold nuance, who refuse to flatten everything into either guilt or obliviousness, those are the people doing some genuinely useful, important work. Those are the people worth listening to.
What I've dedicated my life to is revenge.
A brand new drama based on the best-selling novel.
They think they're better than us.
Who do you think you are?
I'm going to prove to them that they're wrong.
She's punishing me.
You destroyed my family. I will not rest until I've destroyed yours.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
Here's the thing about living between worlds, being an immigrant. Whether that's between cultures, countries, life you came from, and one you're building, you get very good at holding contradiction. You know what it's like to belong somewhere, and also not quite. To celebrate something that the people around you don't recognize, like Ramzan and Eid, to carry an identity that doesn't fit neatly into any one box. And guess what? It turns out that skill, that capacity to hold two things at once without needing to resolve them, that's actually one of the most valuable things you have. So yeah, the world right now needs people who sit with complexity, who can feel joy without guilt and grief without paralysis. You can stay human in circumstances that keep pushing toward numbness. And the reality is, who can stay human in circumstances that keep pushing toward numbness? You already know how to do that. You've been practicing your whole life. So, belated Eid Mubarak to everyone who observed. I hope it was warm and full. And to everyone carrying something heavy right now, I see you. Both things can be true. You are allowed to feel all of it. Thank you for listening to Immigrantly and my thoughts. Thank you for being here. If this one landed for you, please share it with someone who might need it. And I'll see you next week with a new guest. This episode was written and produced by me, Sadia Khan. The editorial review is done by Shay Yu. Our sound designer and editor is Lou Raskin. Our theme music is done by Simon Hutchinson. Other music by Epidemic Sound. Come back next week, when I have another important conversation to share with everyone. And be kind to others.